America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Let me take you back to summer 1998. Now, I had never worked before. I had no resume. But when I saw the perfect movie theater job, I was determined to get it. Even as a teen, I convinced myself that the hiring manager would feel my enthusiasm and take a chance on me. And he did. At $7.20 an hour, above the minimum wage at that time, you couldn't tell me nothing. Now, fast forward to 2025. What made some Chicago teens look for work this summer? Well, for them, it wasn't all about the paycheck.
I decided to get a job because last summer, I feel like I wasted some of it by sleeping too late or, you know, sitting at home all day.
I decided to get a summer job because I thought it would be beneficial since I did do nothing last summer. And I also thought that it would help for my college resume.
I did this mainly so I could put it on my college resume.
So yeah, I just want to stay productive, keep my mind sharp, and also meet some new people.
But the job market these days is tougher. There's a lot of economic uncertainty, and tariffs driving prices up, they've played a key role. For young people, the market might be even harder to crack because some jobs that would typically go to teens are being filled by adults. In June, the unemployment rate for 16 to 19-year-olds was up more than 14% compared to 12% the year before. And yes, in summer 98, yeah, I could have just taken the time to rest and enjoy my vacation. But again, people, $7.20 an hour. So, how were local teens able to land their summer gigs? In this conversation, you'll learn about the behind-the-scenes hustle and the sheer grind of job hunting as a teen today. And young people will join us to share the life lessons that they're taking into the school year. At the table was Emmanuel Camarillo, a Chicago Sun-Times education reporter who's been covering this topic for the paper. And Baylin Doss. She's 16 years old from Hyde Park and will start her junior year at the Woodlawn campus of the University of Chicago Charter School. Baylin started off by telling us about her summer job.
I work at the Southside YMCA, and what made me want to get the job was just seeing how, like, in Black communities, there's not a lot of us wanting to learn how to swim or, like, either gather together to share that part.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a lot of disparities in the community also. And I feel like just being able to teach and just show skills is very important.
Yeah, that's a huge undertaking, first of all, just to want to be a lifeguard at this age. So I commend you for that. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You know, people in the Black community, a lot of us, we just don't know how to swim and we haven't taken the steps to learn. It's happening more and more, of course, these days, but it's been a thing, right? Mm-hmm. What made you decide to be different and spend your summer being a lifeguard? Had you always been a strong swimmer, like as a young child?
Since I was like 5.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so your parents put you in those lessons early on.
Yeah, and I just love the water.
Yeah, and the idea of having to like save lives. Right. Tell me how you think about that as a 16-year-old.
I feel like it's very important just to have that background knowledge. And then also going into the job, I was mentally getting prepared to know what I have to do and be prepared for.
Mm-hmm. Is this your first summer job?
Yes. Well, no.
What else have you done?
I have worked at St. Sabina during the summertime, helped with events downtown, gave speeches and stuff like that about gun violence.
Oh, wow.
Different topics like that.
So you're taking on big things. Wow. So not the typical babysitting and those those gigs. Mm-hmm. Tell me what drives you to do that.
I feel like it's just important to be talked about. It's like a lot of people want that silence. But when you be able to speak up on different topics that even might be hard for your community, it's very important to transfer that into other people's minds.
Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel, good time to bring you in here because for this reporting on teen summer jobs for the Sun-Times, you talked to a lot of Baylins, right? A lot of people like Baylin. What were they telling you, though, about how difficult it is at this time? I mentioned a stat earlier about just year over year, how things have kind of changed a bit as far as prospects for teens. What were you hearing?
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. At least a couple of the teens mentioned how difficult it was this year for them to find opportunity. I think maybe one of the teens you're gonna mention in this segment, Addison, she mentioned how she thought that based on the movies that every teen worked. You know how you see teens working jobs in movies. Mm-hmm. And then I think her quote was like, she quickly realized that was not at all how it was like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The TV shows do kind of depict as though, like, all these companies are just waiting for a herd of teens to run up, like, hey, I want to work, and that these jobs would also be available.
Right, yeah, and a couple mentioned that they applied a little bit later near the end of the school year, so they had to really, like, hustle and look for extra opportunities because some of those were already dried up by then.
Yeah.
So they mentioned, like, having to really keep at it and be persistent in trying to find a job.
You said that's true, Bailey.
Yes, because I feel like when I apply for the job, I have to go through a 12-month program to just make sure I'm up to date.
For the lifeguard job?
Yeah. And they taught us, like, different lifeguarding skills, basically how to make sure you're saving people properly and not just doing it any type of way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just something that you have to be prepared for and be willing to learn. And even if you don't have those opportunities given to you, make sure you're trying to figure out what opportunities you can get into. And don't sit back and relax. You've got to be forward with that and make sure you're giving your all.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about how tough the market is, Emmanuel, because, I mean, you cite in your story tariffs even coming into play, but talk us through.
Yeah, so a lot of it comes from this outplacement firm, Challenger Grain Christmas, who's based in Chicago. They do a lot of this analysis about the teen job market, and they mentioned how in May and June, which are like the two busiest hiring months for teens, mm-hmm. Traditionally, this year 12% fewer teens were hired, 16 to 19-year-olds, compared to last year. And tariffs were a big part of that, just a lot of uncertainty. Some employers who usually would hire during the summer held back this year because they weren't sure about the demand that was there because of higher prices. And also another thing that is contributing that also has to do with tariffs is tourism. Tourism is down this year. An Oxford Economics study forecasted an 8.2% decrease in international visits to the U.S. this year compared from last year, which that takes a bite out of traditional, like, you know, teen job market, service industry and stuff. So, it's kind of invading everything.
When you talk there about employers sort of anticipating higher prices and then thinking, okay, we're not going to be able to deal with this demand, so we're not going to be able to afford putting on as much staff this summer, it sort of kills what I remember back in the day about the thrill of getting a teen job, right? You would just go to the mall back in my day. You would just show up and maybe you had a resume, maybe you didn't. And, you know, if they liked you, if you had the enough charm, if you seemed like you wanted to work, sometimes for the store owner, that was enough.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that still works.
Does it?
One of the tips that I asked, you know, the experts about how can teens in these kinds of environments improve their chances of getting hired, still going in person, it still works a lot. If you walk up to a store manager, even if there's not a sign in the window, are there any opportunities and present yourself as willing to work? That helps a lot.
Yeah, I'm also trying to picture teens these days just on Indeed, Indeed.com,
exactly
right?
Exactly right.
Is that a new thing, right?
Yeah, and that's also, great. A lot more online searches, you know, Indeed and Monster too as well. Are different platforms. Yeah.
Making sure you're possibly having a LinkedIn account is also a good way to
LinkedIn
get jobs.
Yeah, my daughters are 17 and 18. Neither has a LinkedIn, but it might be something we need to think about. They both have summer jobs this year. My younger daughter, this is her first job. My older daughter, this is her second job. She managed to get one last summer. But I was thoroughly impressed. I don't know. I would like to think that they're just watching and taking examples from me, nudge, nudge. But they were very professional in nabbing these jobs. They showed up to their interviews, you know, sent their resume, showed up to the interviews. I remember they did a group interview together. This was for a fitness center. And what was really impressive was after the interviews, they knew to follow up, send the email and say, hey, we're still interested. And this was back in May. We're still interested. Are you still looking for people? And I, as a mom, I saw the, you know, I was looking in their outbox and I was like, this is fantastic. Where did you pick this up? Did you, Baylin, know how to do stuff like that? Did you have a resume?
No, I ended up making one this upcoming summer. So I had to, you know, put down my work experience.
So who helped you?
In the program, we learned how to make resumes.
Oh, yeah. And so what did you think of that process?
I thought it was interesting because they had people come in and talk to us basically about what are the big parts of making the resume and making sure that we can just focus on what's needed and what's not needed.
Yeah. What was your favorite part, you think, of being a lifeguard this summer?
Basically getting to see different, like, how to work with kids and making sure, like, we are focused in on that also.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear now from another teen who was busy this summer. You already alluded to her, Emmanuel. We caught up this morning with 18-year-old Addison Bellome. She spent her summer as the social media intern at the Adler Planetarium. And Addison is, you know, super, super cool. She spent past summers volunteering. She's working. She's studying abroad. So I started the conversation by just saying, hey, Addison, what inspires you? Let's listen.
Summertime is, of course, a great time to connect and bond with your friends. But I also feel that something that's really important for, like, a growing teen and just anyone who has goals and is trying to reach a certain point in their life is to always remain productive. I think, you know, with my career path, I would like to be a film director. My goal is to constantly keep myself busy, learning new things, and doing things that also, you know, just keep me sharp. So I feel, especially at the Adler, working in social media, working with the team is going to be really important for me because collaboration is definitely key when it comes to filmmaking. And also just learning about different mediums of media is going to be super helpful
That's wonderful.
I want to do in my life.
So we'll dig more into your aspirations as a filmmaker in just a second. But this internship at the Adler, tell me more about it. What's a day in the life like for a social media intern there?
Yes, no, I've truly been enjoying myself working at the Adler Planetarium. I say a day in my life, typically I get to work around 8:40, 8:30. I always want to be a little early. So the day will start at 9 a.m. I would go to the office and connect with my supervisors, Lottie and Valeska. I get my computers and we kind of run through what the tasks for the day are.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I would go to my office and meet with my peers. It's a team of three. We're small but mighty. And we kind of would just have like a schedule for the day. Our main project at the planetarium has been to create an SOP. And the SOP is pretty much a standard operations procedure for how we want to see social media being used at Adler Teen specifically moving forward in the future for other interns. So that's kind of really been the highlight of our day.
Yeah, I mean, in social media, of course, that aspect of it must come pretty easy to you as someone who's 18 and kind of, you know, grew up with social media being such a major part of her life. But was it easy to find this job, like finding a summer job? What was the grind like for you?
Actually, I'm really glad you asked that question because I will say, like, it hasn't been the easiest to get a job. I think one of the last jobs I've had, it was a little while ago. It was an internship. I feel like I'm always trying to participate in jobs that, you know, help me. But, like, other summer jobs, like a grocery store, working, you know, at a store or anything, it's really hard to find, especially for teens. But I think once I saw this opportunity come through in my email and a newsletter, it seemed like a perfect opportunity for me. Many teens might look over this because they might think it's too much work, but I think putting my best foot forward and applying to this internship has really been a great experience for me this summer.
From your viewpoint, what do you think it is that has made it so difficult for teens to find some of the more typical jobs that you just laid out? What changed?
Honestly, I feel the amount of trust between the adults and teens and just the relationship building. I feel like, you know, generations prior and things of that sort, there were more relationships between, you know, owners of different shops and things of that sort. And because of that, teens were able to get job opportunities. But now I feel, due to the fact that not many teens may know someone that owns something, or many adults feel that teens aren't ready to pick up their slack and do the amount of work they need to, because of that lack of trust, they're not really looking for anyone 18 or under.
Do you think that your experience at the Adler is pushing you toward your filmmaking dreams?
Oh, absolutely. I'd say anything working in media and especially working for such a big organization such as the Adler Planetarium is going to be really crucial, and I can definitely transfer a lot of the skills I've gained during this internship into my career field. Like I said, one main thing in filmmaking is definitely collaboration. So working not only with my small collective team, but the entire team of 10 interns that we have, that's definitely taught me a lot. And yeah, media, capturing moments, capturing emotion, that's all I want to do in my film projects. My goal in film is to uplift minority groups and minority and, you know, better films and
right.
to express ourselves. And so I've been able to do that at the Adler, and I can definitely transfer it into film.
I mean, and I hear you're already doing this with your own film company.
I am. Yep. So I founded my own film company, my own production company when I was 13 years old during COVID. And since then, I've done about 6 short films. I had the opportunity to work with First Lady Michelle Obama. I wrote and directed 2 short films.
Wow.
And my latest short film got me into the University of Southern California School of Cinematic Arts. So
congratulations. Give some advice before you go to other teens who may be listening and maybe, you know, still trying to figure out that summer job as the weeks wind up, or maybe looking ahead to next year.
One thing I'd say for sure, just a great piece of advice, I feel always network, always try to connect with your local museums or places you've always grown up going to. I feel like the Adler Planetarium is a place I remember taking field trips to, and I could have never imagined myself working there. But now that I'm in this space, I take the opportunity to network with the marketing and design team, setting up meetings with them, and really just connecting with the other supervisors there because they have a lot of input and advice to give me. So just, you know, go out there, push yourself to take opportunities you never would. And once you get in those spaces, make sure you network across and up to get yourself in other amazing rooms and opportunities.
So that was 18-year-old Chicagoan Addison Bellome. Emmanuel, safe to say you talked to some pretty impressive teens for this story.
Yeah, I was amazed at how forward-thinking a lot of them were. It was right? Definitely, I wasn't that
way. I mean, did you hear her
way?
Talk about yes. her latest short film?
I know, I was crazy, yeah.
I had to keep reminding myself, I'm talking to an 18-year-old. Even just hearing you, Baylin, just talk about saving lives here at 16 and just your passion and this dedication to a one-year training program to be able to do this is incredible. Anybody else stand out to you? Tell me some more stories from folks that you talked with, Emmanuel.
Yeah, I think one is Carla Fernandez, who I spoke to. She's her first job ever is at party host at Chuck E. Cheese in Skokie.
Oh yes, yes, that was a fun one.
Yeah, she's learning the ropes. You know, everything is new for her, and her job is to kind of make sure that the birthday kids have a good time, but mm-hmm. also like a lot of the stuff she does is just sort of like helping around the location. So she'll clean bathrooms, which she mentioned she doesn't mind because it kind of keeps her awake is
really?
What she mentioned. Yeah. And she's also, she told me that something else that she's learning that's worthwhile is because she's dealing with like the public and people all the time. She told me that she knows that it's kind of important to keep a smile on your face because you're not sure, you know, what everybody's going through during the day, you know, so you want to be a good presence for them in the store. And
yeah,
she wants to save up to help pay for her first car, which is, I think, annual, something I think we all wanted when we were her
yes.
age, probably.
For me, it was a cell phone. That was the more immediate goal from that movie theater job. It was like, I want my own cell phone because, you know, cell phones were like just becoming a thing. I don't want to date myself too much. But they were definitely just becoming a thing. And I definitely had the mother that was like, okay, well, then you're going to take your debit card and you're going to swipe it at the
right.
cell phone
yeah,
store
exactly.
on your own. What about her story sticks with you, Baylin, as you listen?
I would definitely say just wanting to want more for our communities and also be able to, like, be in different positions where we can like seek out what we can and being able to come and present yourself as such.
Yeah. When Emmanuel was just telling us the story of Carla, who works at Chuck E. Cheese, and in her mention of just, you know, putting on a smile.
Yes.
You nodded.
I feel like that's very important because like people will come into the environment that you work in and they might not always have the most positive attitude, but you having that positive attitude will bring more positivity into your space.
Mm-hmm. Did you get any work experience advice from your parents or any adults in your life?
I would say my mom and my grandmother. I feel like
what'd they tell you?
They definitely told me to always make sure you're ahead of the game, kind of like be prepared for the unexpected and being like prepper.
Preparation?
Yeah, prevents poor performance.
Ah, yeah, that's a good phrase to keep in mind. Yeah,
for all of us.
Emmanuel and I are writing that down. Thank you for schooling us on that. I've talked with friends of my kids who have also mentioned something interesting. Just feeling the motivation to go and get that job, feeling pressure at home, like, I need to help financially. Things are hard right now, right? We mentioned that economic uncertainty. How much was money the motivation for you, Phelan?
I feel like it was more so me wanting to invest more than it was just the money. Like, I want to invest into maybe possibly having my own skincare line one day, because I do want to be a dermatologist.
Nice.
And there's not a lot of Black dermatologists, women, in this community at all. So I want to do that.
Yeah. Did you hear anything like that when you were out, Emmanuel? Just like the need to have a job?
Yeah, When we asked the teens, why they wanted to get a job, you know, a lot of them mentioned, you know, they wanted to have their own money, but they kind of talked about this in the way that Baylen just mentioned, you know, saving it and thinking about the future, you know. Like Baylen said, she also mentioned she wanted to get into stocks when I talked to her.
Yes.
Stocks. Okay.
Edison's workmate at Edler, Baha Al-Sheikh, who was an intern in the development space there, he mentioned how he also wants to invest it in. Maybe you invested in his family owns a trucking company, how he wants to be a part of that. So, and a lot of these kids are already like thinking about saving, you know, this money. You know, it's just
what an impressive crop of young people we've got. We also asked, when we were preparing to have this conversation, we asked our listeners, our Reset listeners, tell us about your most memorable summer job. So here's what a couple of people shared with us.
My most memorable job was at an outdoor theater in St. Louis, where I worked for 5 summers.
Back in the day, mid-1960s, I worked at a local fresh fish store in Little Village, only on Fridays, their busiest day.
We worked from 10 in the morning till 10 at night, 7 days a week. We made very little per hour, but as our boss said, we got paid twice, once on payday and once because we couldn't spend anything we earned, period.
The owners I worked for were the best, and the experience taught me so much about people in general, patience and understanding. Sometimes I did have to clean out a fresh fish for a customer, but that in itself was an experience I'll never forget as well.
I worked with a terrific bunch of guys, one of whom went on to be editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, another to manage a large accounting firm, and yet another to win a prize for photography at the Seattle Times. It was a terrific experience.
It was a kind of a messy job, but I still think about it because it did have an impression on the rest of my life.
Special thank you to Matt in the West Loop and Carol for sharing their summer job memories with us. I'm struck by the fact that they still remember such detail, right? Do you think, Baylen, that you'll, you know, decades from now be like,
I hope so.
In summer 2025, when I was a lifeguard.
Yes, I hope so. Because I feel like those memories are important to be able to share back to other generations and just being able to share that experience with people.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you'll still be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Right? And then you'll remember when you got your start. That's How about
true.
That?
That's true.
What was your most memorable summer job memory?
I think the one that surprises people the most when I mention it is I was a caddy in the north suburbs for a summer.
Tell me more.
In high school. It was unlike most of the teens that I talked to. I don't remember if I applied for it. It was part of a scholarship program that I had in high school, but they introduced me to it. But it required a bunch of kids to stay at Lake Forest College for the summer, and they would bus us at the crack of dawn to the golf courses, because usually the caddies, you get on the course, whoever's earlier there will get on the course. We were there like at sunrise to get on the course. Yeah.
And you still remember that?
Oh yeah, it was a great experience.
Do you remember how you felt like on the job?
Nervous because I didn't know anything about golf when I started there, and I had no idea about clubs or anything, and I was expected to help, you know, the golfers with like their shots and stuff. I eventually learned it, but in the beginning was definitely
so it was like classic fake it till you make it.
Yes, exactly.
So are you a good golfer now?
Oh no, none of that translated into my golf.
None
skills.
Of that translated. Oh, at least you'll have the swimming skills for life, yeah. Right, Bailey?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if thinking back, I started with the movie theater job, but I think what happened for me from there was, even as a teenager, kind of an addiction to working. Like I wouldn't stop. I would get a second job. This is all while juggling school.
Yes.
Which sounds nuts. But I mean, are you thinking ahead to that fall semester?
Yes.
How are you going to do this? Tell me.
I feel like I'm going to make sure I'm very time persistent, making sure that I have time for myself and studies while also making time for working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I went from the movies to retail. I did a little bit of like call center work. I mean, by 17, we're talking, right? We're talking like 14 through or 15 through 17. Yeah. Just picking up all these random jobs, but loving it and also keeping my grades up.
Yeah, I feel like it's good to have that work experience. So then when you move forward, you won't be so like frazzled by different opportunities and people that come towards you.
Absolutely. So leave us with this, Baylin. Give us some advice for other teens who could be listening to us right now, or parents of the teens who are looking for jobs. What's your best advice for them?
I feel like be persistent. Don't stop. Even if somebody tells you no, don't stop looking and keep searching without having in your mind, oh, I'm going to fail. Don't have that failure mindset. Keep a positive mindset going into these experiences and be able to show your true self when you're applying for these jobs.
Yeah, great advice. That's Baylin Doss, who's a rising junior at UChicago Charter School, and Emmanuel Camarillo, who's a Chicago Sun-Times education reporter. Thank you both so much. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Daniel Tucker and mixed by Sienna Greaves. Reset brings you context to breaking news. Now, if you're interested in hearing more, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon.